The message you're about to hear is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center in Great Falls, Montana. Sit back, relax, and we pray that you hear from God.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to come up and tell a story from the book of Exodus, but I want to give you a little bit of introduction from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been doing a series called Square One, and this is going to be a kind of a permanent series. We actually started 2 weeks ago videoing our sermons, and they're on podcast. So if you miss a service or you would like to see it again, or you can go and they actually do an excellent job of videoing it. That's what you got the cameras going, and so now online you can not just hear, but you can see our sermons. I promise you, I will fill up the screen. There you go. So we had the skinny guys go first to see how it worked, and now we'll put the real guys up here. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians. You laugh with me a little bit. You know, it's my first time on TV. So, all right, 1 Corinthians 10, and I want to begin reading with verse 1. Series on square foundations of our faith. Foundations, just four. And maybe a fifth one I'm going to add in there. Basic things that need to be in every believer's life, basic equipment you need to help you with your walk with God. Our goal, we have so many people make commitments to the Lord, either come back to the Lord or come to the Lord for the first time. And we want to put together a series that then, after they do that, we can take them through it. And it'll just really ground them in some really fundamental things. And we're doing it with the whole church, so you're all grandfathered in. So this is a time to make your foundation sure. So chapter 10, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. For I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. So he says, I want you to understand there was something really significant going on in the Old Testament when they went through the Red Sea and they had the cloud that directed them. He says, this is what happened for them, but it also happens in our lives. They were baptized into Moses. They all drank the same spiritual food, ate the same spiritual food, and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. That's another story, but they didn't do what God wanted. Now these examples, this is what I want you to get to. These examples occurred, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. The things in the Old Testament, the stories in the Old Testament are word pictures, if you will, to help us to understand how we're to live in the New Testament, in the teachings of Jesus. So those are examples. It's like the nation of Israel, the children of Israel going through the Red Sea and the wilderness, and how they developed, how they rebelled, how they failed, how they succeeded. Those are all pictures for us to get a better understanding of the things that God calls us to as the church in the New Testament. Does that communicate? Do you understand that? All right. And it really helps you if you see that as you're reading. You say, that has application now to my life today. And we're going to talk about that more in a minute. Let me give you two more scriptures and then we're going to pray. Galatians 3:27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Galatians 3:27 in the NLT, the New Living Translation, says, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism, that's what we're going to be talking about today, water baptism, have put on the character of Christ like putting on new clothes. How many of you like new clothes? This is a new shirt. You like my new shirt? It's cool. It's got a little, like the pocket thingies going on right here. Kind of cool. Little flaps. I mean, I'm hip. I wasn't saying that for humor. I want to say, dude, you are. Okay, new jeans. These are new jeans. They're my third time I've worn these jeans. I'm just oogieing them on up. So I have new jeans, new shirt, and I like that. I like new clothes because I always feel kind of cool when I put on new clothes. I know, you know, I'm probably not looking real, you know, whatever, but I feel cool. How many else, when you put on new clothes, you feel kind of cool? Say, look, I'm styling, man. I got a new shirt. My wife will buy clothes and wait a year to wear them. She just grew up that way. She saves them. And then she'll say, oh, and she'll pull some out of her closet. And she'll say, I bought this 2 years ago at Herberger's, had a sale. And I'll say, where'd you get it? Like, 2 years ago. 2 years? And it's just kind of a, I don't know, frugal thing or whatever. When I get new clothes, I wear them that afternoon. I do. I want to style. You know why I like new clothes? Because they make me feel new. They make me feel different, a little fresher, right? And the Bible says when we're baptized, we're putting on Christ, Jesus, like new clothing, and we are walking in a new life. Amen? So let's stand. We're going to pray about this and ask God to help us to get this, to understand this. We're going to pray, as we always do, that for our mind, that we can understand it with our mind, but also with our heart, that God would speak to our heart and help us to get what He wants for us today. We come together. By the way, thank you for coming. And Jesus has something He wants to do for you. Because He cares about you. He loves you. And so I'm praying that you get what He wants for you. Beyond even what I say, that God will speak to you. So put your hand on your heart. Put it on your mind. And let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask that my heart and my mind would be open to You. I pray that You'd speak to me. I pray that You'd teach me. And I pray that You'd reveal Yourself to me. Help me to understand whatever You have for me and then to walk in it. Thank You, Jesus. Fathers, we prayed for open hearts and open minds. God, I prayed You'd help me to clearly speak what You want spoken. God, You love these people. And God, I believe You have vision beyond even their understanding for them, God, way more. Your heart for them is bigger than they could even grasp, than we could grasp. God, You have greater things. And so, God, I pray this morning, God, You stir us, challenge us, speak to us. God, I pray that You would anoint my words and thoughts, that it would minister life as You intend it. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and be seated. 1 Corinthians again says, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then in the Message Bible, and in 10 verse 2, it says, they went into the waters in a baptism like ours, as Moses led them from enslaving life, enslaving death, to salvation life. Isn't that great? He led them from enslaving death to salvation life. And again, in 1 Corinthians 10, we read this earlier, these things happened to them as examples and were written down for us as warnings for us in this time, in this age. The story comes from Exodus chapter 14. It's the story of the Israelites' baptism. You have to go back a little bit to understand kind of the background. God has always had a people. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. We're going to talk about the church. And God has always had a people. And His people, at one time, were this small group, a father with 12 sons, Jacob and his 12 sons. Some of you know the story. Some of you may not. We've talked about some of it. And one of the sons is sold because of jealousy into slavery, Joseph. And he goes to Egypt, and he's a slave there. And then he's in prison there. And all that is God working in his life. Have you ever gone through a difficult time and you thought, where is God in all this? Have you ever been there? And yet, at the end of it, you realize God was doing stuff all along to prepare me for where I am now. And yet you think, oh. When you're there, when you're in the middle of it, you think, God, where are You? What's going on? What's happening? And yet at the end you say, oh God, I'm so grateful for what You've done. So Joseph has that experience, and he reconciles him with his family, makes Joseph the number two man in Egypt, and uses Joseph to save Egypt and also his whole family. Wonderful, amazing story. And so his family, these 70 people, move. That includes their wives and children and so on. They all move to Egypt. And they become a part of the culture there. And they're, at first, kind of heroes. And then, as time goes on, people forget. How many know, as time goes on, people forget where you came from. And they begin to look at them as sort of a threat. And then it says that there's a Pharaoh that's raised up, didn't even know their background, didn't know where they came from. And they began to treat them worse and worse until they began to treat them actually like slaves. Have you ever seen pictures of the pyramids being built and the slaves carrying the big blocks up the slope to put them into place? Those were more than likely the Israelites now that are doing that. They were the slaves that helped at least part of the building of the pyramids and some of the big structures in Egypt. So they're involved in that, they're enslaved, and they cry out to God. How many of you got desperate at some time in your life and said, God, if you're there, I got to know you? How many of you ever done that? I think that's how a lot of us even came to the Lord. We said, I need something more in my life. And these people have a history of God, but they've kind of lost that connection somewhat themselves. They cry out to God, and God sends them to a deliverer. The deliverer, 40 years before, was born in Egypt. Pharaoh said, there's too many Egyptians. I want to kill all the male babies. And to save him, his mother puts him in a basket in the river. And the princess, it really sounds like an amazing story, kind of like the Prince of Egypt, huh? Anyway, it is a cool story. And it puts him in the river, and the princess sees him, adopts him, makes her like his son. And she grows up, like her son, he grows up in royalty in Egypt. And but then one day, he's 40 years old, he sees his people being persecuted. And he thinks, I'm going to save. Have you ever been in that situation where you thought, I'm going to take care of this? Guys, men are fixers by nature, right? I'm going to fix this. And you ever had it backfire on you? I've had it backfire a lot on me. Fortunately, I'm still married, 40 years, still married. My wife still loves me, still thinks I dress cool. Yeah, there you go. I was waiting for a sign there. So he tries to deliver him. Doesn't work out, and he escapes to the desert. He spends 40 years out there being trained by God, not in a school, but taking care of sheep. Interesting. God uses methods we're not always comfortable with. God is forming in him and making him. Now he's an 80-year-old man. He comes back. Now just think for a minute. How many of you could even remember who was president 40 years ago? Anybody know who was president? Besides Dwight. We already discussed this. You were in the first service. It's hard to remember. Who do you think it was? Who? Clark? Carter? No. I'm not sure. I think it was Nixon. If it wasn't Nixon, it was Ford. But then let's try to remember who was his chief of staff. It was actually Haldeman was chief of staff for him, and I have no idea who was Ford's or who were their kids. You can't remember. So this guy is out of the memory. He's not like this big hero coming back. He's somebody nobody even remembers. He comes back, and God says, "I'm going to use you to deliver him." Now there's kind of a little bit of worry on the Israelites' parts, and they kind of struggle with it. But God helps him. He does these amazing miracles. He does these the plagues, the 10 plagues, you know, with the locusts and the flies and the frogs and so on. And then finally, the last plague that's done is that God warns Pharaoh through Moses. He said, if you don't let my people go, he said, I am going to kill your firstborn, every one of your firstborn children. Of all of the Egyptians. And Pharaoh hardens his heart and says, no, I'm not going to do it. And it actually happens. But everybody in Israel is saved because they put blood of a lamb over their doorpost. It's a picture of what Jesus does in our life. We are saved. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. We're saved because of what Jesus does for us. That the wrath, the anger of God is not on us, because Jesus took it our place. How many are grateful for that? Pastor Kern, a couple weeks ago, did a great message on that. And so now they're saved, and Pharaoh says, get out. And they all leave, and they actually plundered the Egyptians. God gave them such favor with the Egyptians that they gave them jewelry and gold and whatever they wanted. He said, just go, and gave them stuff. And so this mass of people. Now, this is what's really amazing. It says 600 men in the Bible. Now, men would be probably from about 20 to 50 or 60, the fighting men. Most scholars say that's about 3 million people. How many have ever been to a Grizz game? Anybody been to a Grizz game? That's about 125 times the number of people in a Grizz game. That's a lot of people. It's about the size... I have no idea what you said, but that's okay. We don't talk about the Bobcats. No. I'm sorry. We really don't talk about the Bobcats here. But no. Listen, I'm a Grizz. My wife is a Grizz. We raise little Grizzes. We just said Oogie all and over and make some room for another one. Anyway, all right. So, it's about the size of metropolitan Denver. Or metropolitan, when I say metropolitan, not just the city, but all the surrounding areas of Seattle or Denver. It's a lot of people. And they leave with all their baggage and all their animals and all their stuff. If it was modern day and they were all like my wife and I, it would have been double that size. Because we got so much stuff. How many got a lot of stuff? Well, they didn't have as much probably as you do, but they still had stuff. And they all leave this massive, massive group of people. In fact, what happens, they get to the banks of the Red Sea. God actually directs their path. They come to this body of water, the Red Sea, which separates the Sinai Peninsula from Egypt. And they're on the banks of it. And God had provided for them that there was a cloud during the day that directed them. There was a pillar of fire at night that directed them. It's actually a picture of the Holy Spirit. This really fascinating stuff. I don't have time to go into all that. But it's directs them to the banks of the Red Sea. But Pharaoh says, you know what? We messed up, man. We just let all our slaves go. How are we going to build these pyramids? How are we going to make the Sphinx look like me? What are we going to do? So they go get them. They send this massive army after them. God, this is like the most amazing miracle in the Bible. This is really astounding if you really think about what happened. 3 million people and stuff. Pharaoh's coming after him. God takes the cloud and the fire and puts it behind him now to protect them so that the Pharaoh can't see them. And he tells Moses, he says, stand up and speak to the people. Now, I don't know if he spoke just to the leaders and they took the word back. Again, 3 million people is a huge group of people. But somehow he got the word out to him. And this is what he says. Because they're afraid. They said, man, we're going to die. We're just going to die. Man, it's going to be horrible. He said, no. He says this. He says, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. See what God's going to do. The Egyptians who you see today, you'll never see them again forever. Man, it just gives me goosebumps thinking about that. He said, and he tells Moses, he says, take your staff. Now, Moses had done some miracles with his staff, but it was more like throwing it down and it turned to a snake and picking it up and turned to a staff again or maybe turn some water into blood. But now he says, take your staff and go like that to the water, and the waters part. Now, if you've seen Prince of Egypt or some of those movies, it's like this, little like this. For those people to walk through, it would have had to part about a mile, at least a mile wide. At least a mile wide. And then it says a hot wind blew all night and dried the ground up. And then 3 million people walked through. Now, I did some research on this. It would take, they would have to divide up. They'd have to be a column at least a mile wide and 3 miles deep of people. Just people. Now, just picture that. That's almost the size of Great Falls. This massive group of people walking through. Take them all day to walk through on this ground. Meanwhile, Pharaoh's behind them. He can't see what's going on. They just can't. There's a fire holding them back. They walk through. They get on the other side. And then I'm probably adding this a little bit, but you kind of hear Moses say, watch this. And these people are watching this. And he goes, and Pharaoh, God lifts the cloud. And they go, look what they did. Let's go after them. Now, That's kind of interesting. If I just saw God do something like that, I wouldn't go after him at all. I said, you go. But they didn't believe. Everybody say believe. They didn't believe God could do it. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't think God could take care of it? How many of you ever felt like that? We've all felt like that. And he says, so they go after him. Pharaoh and his army, they go after him. And it's actually really kind of a humorous passage in Exodus 14. It says the wheels twisted and falling off and the chariots, nothing's working. You think something's going wrong here, guys? And they go out there. They're in the middle of it. And then Moses takes his staff, goes like that, and the waters come over. And Egypt is wiped out, completely wiped out. And then you know what they did? This is really cool. Then they sang. It says that they began to play their tambourines, and Marion and the gals began to, they had like a worship, impromptu worship service. When I was a young Christian, we used to sing a song. Maybe some of you older Christians remember this, The Horse and the Rider. How many remember the song, The Horse and the Rider? A few of you. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Doom. Do, do. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Man, we should sing that. It's kind of a Jewish little chant to it, you know. And that's what happened. I mean, now here's what's cool. They saw their past taken care of. You see, Egypt represented what they were. Egypt represented where they had been, what had happened to them before. How many have a past here? How many have stuff that just says, man, that junk in my life, and you feel bad about it, and it hangs on to you, and that's what was happening with them. And God said, now watch this. I'm going to deal with your past. Never again will it have a grip on you. One time later, they remembered it and thought about it, but they never fought a rear battle. They never had to fight Egyptians coming after them. They didn't want to go anywhere near them after that. All right, God separated them from their past. That's what water baptism does. It's when you go into the tank, there it's more than just getting wet, doing a little ceremony. There is a dynamic, powerful work of God in your life that is absolutely astounding. Let me give you some dynamics of it, some real quickly, and then I want to get into specifically how. First of all, who gets water baptized? And this, we're going to do this really quickly. Go back to that, because I want to give you this principle to help you understand. When you're reading the New Testament, this will help you to understand how it fits together. In the Gospels, the first four books, the stories of Jesus, the commands are given. God tells you to do this way, act this way, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize people. He tells us to do that. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember that? All right. So you'll see commands of things in the Gospels. In the epistles, the word epistle means letter. So in the letters of Paul, you'll see the commands explained. In other words, you really get the theology of what's been told you to do in the Gospels. Then in the epistles, you get an understanding of what it means and how to do it. We just studied together the book of Ephesians, and we got lots of how to and what this is talking about and what you're supposed to do. Really a better understanding, kind of really got a synopsis of our faith, really looking at the book of Ephesians. The book of Romans is very much like that. Really gives you a lot of theological explanation. This is what it means. In the book of Acts, you get an illustration of it. You actually see the New Testament, the new church being formed and walking out in the principles that are taught, that are commanded by Jesus, explained by Paul, and walked out by the church in the book of Acts. Does that communicate? It's not a hard and fast rule, but it really helps you to understand it. All right, now let's go on to this. So who should get water baptized? All right, who and when? Number Acts 2:38 and 39. Peter stands up. All these people get saved, become new Christians. And he says, each of you, everybody here, must repent of your sins and turn to God. That's how you get saved. And Pastor Kern talked about that. He says, then you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Kern talked about that. Last week, he talked about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He says, so three things. You need to get saved, you need to get baptized in water, and then you need to get baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to get the Holy Spirit. This promises to you, people he's talking to your children, and even to the Gentiles. Now, we're Gentiles. Gentiles means people, there may be some people that are of Jewish heritage, but most of us are not. And so we would be considered Gentiles to all. Everybody say all. All who have been called by the Lord our God. So who gets baptized? Everyone who believes. Put the next scripture up. When you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, you need to be baptized as soon as possible. In fact, if you look at the examples in the Bible, they always got baptized right away. These people, it said 3,000 people got baptized that day. So when people get saved, they should get baptized. It would not be remiss at all as if people make a commitment to the Lord that we walk up and baptize them right then. And what we've almost got traditional about it, we do classes, which are good and helpful for us, but sometimes people wait years before they're water baptized. And I know Christians who never get water baptized, and you suffer because of it. And I'm going to explain why. It hurts your walk with God. I've never seen a Christian have a consistent, strong walk with God who wasn't water baptized. And again, I'll explain all that as we go on. So, who and when? Now, note, believing is a prerequisite. That's why we don't do infants. Now, we dedicate babies. We do it all the time. It's kind of a fun time. We bring the family up. We bring the baby, and we pray over the baby, and the parents really are dedicating them, the baby, and say, they're dedicating themselves to raise that child to love God and to serve God. But when they become of an age where they personally believe, when they have a personal faith in God, then we water baptize. Because the Bible, go ahead and put the scripture up here. Next scripture. Well, isn't there a scripture in there? Well, there should be. I should have put it in there. Anyway, we'll come back to that. That you believe, and that gives you salvation, and then you get water baptized after you believe. So you have to be a believer to get water baptized. All right, how do you do it? Let's get to that. By immersion. Immersion means by being dunked under the water. Go ahead and put these are the Greek words. Bapto means to dip. To dip something as into a dye. If you dye a piece of garment, you take it all the way under the water and then bring it all the way out, unless you're doing tie-dye, and then you kind of don't do all of it. But you understand, if you're dyeing something, in fact, the word actually means to be fully covered or fully whelmed. One of the things that translators, particularly the early translations, did is they took words, Greek words, and they just made them English. They kind of anglicize them. So the Greek word is baptize, baptizo, and they just changed it to baptize. Proper translation would have been to just call it immersed. So believe and be immersed would be a better translation, really. It means to go all the way under. Baptizo, to immerse, to submerge. For example, it's used like when a ship sinks at sea, it's baptized. So you don't sprinkle, you dunk. When one of the types of baptism is a burial, and we're going to read that and talk about that in a moment, and a resurrection. And how many have ever been to a funeral cemetery and they lay the body out on the ground and then sprinkle a little dirt on them? It's weird, right? You wouldn't do that. You put them under the ground, right? That's what it's talking about in Scripture. Is that clear? All right, I'm trying to do this part pretty quick. All right, second part. They went down into the water, Acts 8:38, Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. So even in the Bible, you see the example of going into the water and out of the water. All right, part number two, how? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me explain this, and we do this more in the class before water baptism, but go ahead, put the next scripture up here. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the command. Remember I told you, command, explanation, and then the actual demonstration of what's happening. So the command says, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Somebody said to you, go get that car in the name of the pastor. All right, right? You wouldn't go and say, the pastor. You'd say, Bob Johnson, Robert B. Johnson, Robert Bruce Johnson. Whatever, you'd say the name, right? Okay, go back, next scripture here. in Acts, this is how they actually did it. Peter replied and said, repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, next scripture here. Next. Acts 19:5. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's what actually the Bible teaches. Again, this is very quick. But it says you're to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That name is really the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord represents God the Father. Jesus, obviously, Jesus the Son of God. And then Christ is Christo, which is the Anointed One. And so that's the way that they did it in the book of Acts. And that's the way we do it. We say, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's why this is important. Look at this next scripture. Exodus 20, verse 24. In every place, this is God speaking, where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. There's something about the name of God being spoken over us in water baptism that's really important. Again, we're going to come back to that in a second. Let's go on. Okay, I want to get to the why. I'm going to give you three reasons to get water baptized. Three reasons. Number one is obedience. Go ahead and put the scripture up. Mark 16:16. Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. If you get saved, you need to, if you're a believer, you need to get baptized. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is the scripture I said clarifies. You don't get saved by being baptized, but you demonstrate your salvation by getting water baptized. And God said, do it. How many parents in here? Do you ever tell your children, ever had your kids say why? And what do you say?
Because I said so.
And honestly, when they're young, you don't owe them an explanation. In fact, this isn't a parenting seminar, but that's a big mistake parents make. They think they have to reason with their children all the time. Well, because it'll be good for you, and I'll give you a lollipop, and it'll make it peaceful at home, and please do this, and just say, listen, if I say it, that's good enough for you. You're 5 years old, you don't get to have an opinion. Is that right? I'm telling you, I raised 4 kids, I got 9 grandkids, I know what I'm talking about. You just say, do it because I said so. And what, why that's important is because then they learn when they have an encounter with God, that they have to do what God says because He says so. How many have had God tell you things or you read things in the Bible and it doesn't make sense to you? How many have ever done that? Well, I have. And does that give you the option to say, well, not until I understand it? That's not faith. See, we receive the things of God by faith. We believe He's God, so if He says it, we do it. And so, honestly, if I stop there, that would be sufficient for you to get water baptized. And for much of the church, that's all that's taught. Just do it. It's obedience to the Lord. And it is obedience to the Lord, and it should be done because we want to obey God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. But there's more, and it really does help, and it inspires you to understand what else God does. Go ahead and put what's next up here. All right. Number two. So first of all is obedience. We understand that. Second part is separation. This is so cool. This is why I told this whole story, the Red Sea. Go ahead and put the scripture up. Romans 6:3-4 says this. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When the Israelites got saved out of Egypt, miraculously, who's going to let 3,000 slaves go except God intervenes? And because of the blood of the Lamb, what a wonderful type of Jesus, a picture of Jesus, they got saved. But what came after them was their past, the way they were slaves. They thought like slaves, they lived like slaves, they were considered slaves by others, and Egypt had a grip on them. In fact, Egypt enslaved them. They were in bondage to Egypt. And so they had to be set free from the power of Egypt. If this had not happened, the whole time they're trying to move forward, everybody say forward, they would have to fight backward. And that's not good. That's not cool. because they had lots of battles forward to do, but they would have to fight backward battles. And so God says, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to set you free from your past. I'm going to take you through the Red Sea. That's exactly what God does in us in water baptism. How many have a past? How many have just junk that you just, God. And what happens, I believe there's something powerful, supernatural that God does in water baptism that cuts off the power of that past. Right after I began to serve the Lord, Cindy and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We were really trying to do everything, serve God in every way. And one day I saw somebody from my past. Anybody, you know, you fill in the blanks, whatever you want to put there, but and it probably fits. But I saw somebody from my past, and I was just overwhelmed with guilt and shame. It brought back all kinds of memories of the way I was, the way I acted, the things I'd done to this person, but also all kinds of stuff. And I worked a night shift, and I was at work, and I was just going, God, I just feel so bad, and I just feel like I'm a loser. I can't believe I did that. Why? How could I be a Christian and even act like that? Well, God, what's wrong with me? All that kind of stuff. And one of the first times in my life I actually heard the voice of the Lord, and I don't know, it was 3 or 4 in the morning, and I felt like God said to me, a dead man did that. I'm almost out loud, I heard a voice. And what God showed me is the person that did that was gone. That's why that scripture right there is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm telling you, when you go into water baptism, there is really a separation from that old. I've heard a tradition, I don't know how accurate it is, that Romans sometimes as a punishment for murder would strap the corpse of the person murdered onto the back of the person that did the murdering. And they would actually let the rot from the decaying body would end up killing the person who was carrying it around. That's a pretty gross picture, but sometimes that's a picture of the way our past can just consume us. That's why I see so many Christians who don't get water baptized. They're just constantly fighting this battle, and they get drawn back into the way they used to be. I'm telling you, water baptism is designed by God to set you free. It's a deliverance. It breaks that bondage in your life. It's a wonderful time. And so God gives this incredible picture in the Bible of 3 million people. That's just astounding to me. This mass of people in just one day, he completely sets them free from 400 years of bondage. And they never again have to battle Egypt. How many can say amen to that? Hallelujah. See something positive. I just think that's amazing. And so, separation. What you were, you're not anymore. Go ahead and put the whatever's next up there. Exodus 14:13. Moses answered the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm. You'll see the deliverance God will bring today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see them again. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I am a new creation. And my past is gone. And there's something really dynamic that happens in the waters of baptism. In fact, the Bible likens it to a death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6 says that. And so, you know what? I'm grateful for that. And so we get to see people resurrected all the time in water baptism. That's why we cheer. That's why we make it a part of the service, too, and show a video and go and give testimony, because it's really, really cool. Amen? All right, number three, and this is equally as important, is identification. We put on Christ in water baptism. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothe yourself with Christ. Have clothed yourself with Christ. Put on the next scripture. James 2:7. This is from the Amplified Bible. Says, that precious name by which you are distinguished and called, the name of Christ invoked in water baptism. Another thing we're real familiar with, it's kind of a picture of water baptism, is the wedding ceremony. What happens there? A couple comes together and the name of the husband is taken on to the bride and she has a new identity, a new person. Is that right? When I after I got, after Cindy and I began to serve the Lord, we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, like Nate talked about last week, and we were excited about God. We began to study the Scriptures, and we began to read about water baptism. And Cindy said, you know, I was sprinkled when I was a kid. I want to get water baptized. I want to be dunked. I want to be baptizoed, go into the water. And so it was a big deal for us, and we invited friends. And I remember one young man who was kind of a little younger than us. He adopted him into the family, and he came to see and watch Cindy get baptized. And the pastor talked to me the week before. He says, maybe you should do it again. And I said, well, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I was really argumentative. Don't use that excuse for you to be that way. Don't do as I say, not as I do. But anyway, I kind of was fussing with it, and he didn't know any different. He didn't say any different. So I'm sitting there, and Cindy's getting baptized, and he says, can you explain? So I'm going through the Scriptures in the book of Acts and showing them where they're getting baptized. And in Acts 19, I come across a Scripture, and it says these people were not baptized. They were baptized into the name of, it was John's baptism, which is the baptism of repentance. But he said they never were baptized in the name of Jesus. And so they did it again. How many ever read that? They actually did it again, Acts 19. I said, I did just like you did, Daniel. I raised my hand. A small church. They said, can I do this? And they said, sure. They ran across the street and got me a pair of pants. I remember because the guy was bigger than me now. I was not so big then. But anyway, because I had to tie him up with a rope. And I just got these pants and my T-shirt. And I got up there and they asked me, actually Kern was there, and he said, I want to do it too. And Kern got me water baptized too. But I'm standing up there, and they would do testimonies, but they do it live. And they said, what does this mean to you? Share something. I said, you know, I've always been proud of my family to be a Johnson. I said, but today I'm taking on the name of Jesus. I said, that really excites me. That's even more important than the name of Johnson, to be identified with my Lord Jesus Christ. And I got water baptized. There's something, you know, those people, they were slaves. They were just runaway slaves. After they went through the Red Sea and Egypt got killed, how many know they weren't called slaves anymore? They were the people of God. And everybody was terrified of them. They said, don't mess with those guys. And you read it in the Scripture. Don't mess with them. They're God's people. Now, they messed up. They made mistakes. But they were still God's people. And I'm telling you, when you are water baptized, you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of God is written on you. There's something really powerful. It's like that wedding ceremony when a wife takes her husband's name and you're identifying. There's a public statement. In fact, a young Jewish man getting baptized, if he got saved, it was an internal thing. He might even go home and tell his parents, I'm a Christian. But what really caused problems was when he was publicly water baptized, because it was a public statement. I belong to Jesus now. I'm not a Jew anymore. I'm a Christian. And there's really something powerful in that. And there's an identification. And you go in there and you come out, and it's like you got Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, tattooed across your chest. Don't do that. All right? But it's like what happens, and you now are identified as a man or woman of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Look at one last scripture, and we'll close with this. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I put the old to death. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith. This all is a walk of faith. How many of you think it took faith to step into the Red Sea? I can imagine standing there thinking, I know you blew the wind through there, God. I see the walls. But there's 6 miles they had to walk. 6 miles they had to walk. And what if it stops working? What if this is a freak of nature? How many of you, would you rather be on the outside or the inside? What do you think? I mean, I personally don't want to be on the outside because I want to see the fish's heads and stuff, you know, sticking out and go. But maybe you want to be on the inside, so if it started collapsing, you know, it's a mile, you could. I mean, but you know, there's 3 million people, so you're stuck in the middle. You can't just run ahead. So you had to make a choice. And if you had stayed, what would have happened? Egypt would have got you. So it's an act of faith, and it's an act of faith in water baptism. The life I live, Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want you to understand, we're talking about foundations. This is a crucial foundation in your life. You can't make it in God without it. Can you go to heaven? Sure. You go to heaven because of what Jesus did. But will it be a tough road there? Absolutely. I'm telling you, it's part of what God wants to do to set you apart as His people, to identify with. You obey Him, you separate, and you identify with Him now, and you walk. Now, there's lots of battles in the future, but there's no battles in the rear. Can you say amen to that? Let's bow our heads. Father, help us. God, I just pray that, Lord, You know what parts of this message and how to speak this to each individual. And God, You know the condition of the life and the circumstance of life. So God, I pray that You would tailor make this now for each person. And God, that we could be a people that could walk in true freedom, identified with You, obedient to You, but identified with You and walk in victory before You. We ask this in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed, let me ask, if you are not born again, if you've never given your life to Christ, either you're not saved or maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you at one time prayed some prayer, but you've never walked in it. This is a time of service. We give people a chance to get right with God. I had that point. Every person did. You need that Passover experience, that time when Jesus passes over your sin, where you repent. Say, I'm wrong. I want God. I want what Jesus did for me. So if you need to come to God or come back to God, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and look at me. This is what you want. Then you signify this by saying, will you pray for me, Pastor? Will you just slip up your hand and look at me? I'll just take a moment. All right? Anybody else? Make sure I see you. Every week we have people. I think we had 3 or 4 in the first service. Anyone else? You want to either come to the Lord or come back to the Lord. All right, I want to ask for one other thing too. If you think about, you've been a Christian, maybe you've never been water baptized, or maybe years ago you were, but you didn't really understand it, or didn't really seem to have meaning, or you were sprinkled or something like that, you want to do it right. We will help you with that too. But I think something about making a commitment. And we already talked in the 9 o'clock service. We had we did 19 people last month. We baptized 19, but there may be more. And I'm sure there's more. There were 3 more people said I want it. So we're going to do a special one next week in the 9 o'clock. But if there's people here, we'll do one for you. Now we do it the 4th Sunday of every month. We do a class on it and baptize. But if you just feel stirred, you want that. I want to know if you want it, and I'm going to ask you to talk to. Mark it on your Connect card, but if that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody, you just feel like, I want to do this. All right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all right, 8, good. It's cool, 9, 10, 11, 12. Wow. So, all right, let's pray together, all right? Let's pray. Jesus, you pray with me. Jesus, we just need You. I want to commit my life to You. I want to commit my heart to You. Help me to walk with You. Help me to go through the right steps and do the things that You command and tell me to do. God, I do repent. I repent of the past and the way I was. I ask You to save me, make me new. God, I ask You to give me new life. I believe that You rose from the dead. I believe that Your blood pays the price for my sins. I receive that. I commit my life, my heart, my way to You today. I thank You for this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.
The message you just heard is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center. Additional sermon resources are available by calling us at 406-727-4849. Or by visiting us on the web at gfcconline.com. Thanks again for listening.